some really good things.
I doubt it.
Yeah, I mean.
So I think just. Oh, for fuck!
already an interruption. Unpopular. What can I say?
Okay, that was hello. Me telling you to turn your phone off.
Welcome to the second Queer Zone 3000 podcast. Hopefully, something we're going to do
more regularly
than previously.
More regularly than not at all.
More regularly than the previous 23 years of our life. We've got a plethora of things to talk to you about. Oh God, it's always quite nerve-wracking, isn't it?
I'm very stressed out.
Very nervous about what we might say. I think we should maybe just start with a song.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of quite digging this at the moment, and the sun has been out today, and it kind of just feels right.
Lovely.
Yeah, that was Easier Said by Sunflower Bean. And I think their album is going to be released, or has been released, on the 5th of February on Fat Possum Records.
My favourite label.
Yeah, so my favourite.
No relation to no relation to Kurt Cobain, is there, with this band?
I don't know. They look quite cute. There's a sort of Bob Dylan-esque kind of guitarist and a kind of model lead singer.
Yeah, I was kind of put off initially by the Bob Dylan complex.
Yeah, which seems to be a sort of recurrent theme.
Yeah.
With members of these kinds of bands where they've got a kind of Bob Dylan complex, which basically means that they've just got curly hair. A bit skinny and angry.
Pasty, yeah.
A bit pasty and angry. So what else has been on our radar this week?
Well
this week. Could be any week.
I
don't know. We've been looking at the memorabilia that's available. Memorabilia on the labour.org.uk shop.
Yeah.
For Jeremy Corbyn, because Leo got an email about them earlier today, and you can purchase a Jeremy Corbyn pint glass, which says on one side Jeremy Corbyn, and then on the other straight talking honest politics.
Yeah, I'm not really sure about that straight bit. But you know, I do like beer, so
maybe that could be one of the things that we're going to buy. You can also get a mug, obviously.
Fridge magnet.
I think I need to diversify.
Yeah, a sticker would be good.
No, I think there is a sticker. Yeah, there's a badge.
Yeah, I mean,
A3 poster. So you can read. Oh no, you can really get on side anyway.
Yeah, I'd hate to see what the Tories have on there.
Should we find out?
Gift shop. It's probably a flute.
A flute.
Yeah, for champagne.
No, not even a flute. A flute case.
Yeah. A pistol case. Fucking put your dueling pistols in there.
Oh, I wouldn't even know what to search to find that. Let's just assume it is a flute case. So if you're a Tory and also a budding flutist, you can purchase them.
I meant like the glass, not the actual
a flute?
Musical instrument.
A flute. Oh, what, for like champagne? That's what I meant too.
Yeah.
For your customised flute.
They don't even sell the glass, it's just the case.
Customised.
You have to get the glass
champagne
elsewhere.
Flute case. I mean, the Liberal Democrats, what do they wear?
I don't know, just fucking.
I have no idea.
It's
what
probably like
got on there.
You know, when people sell like air on eBay or something, or like a bit of water from a pond. Like,
you can buy some of like Charles Kennedy's chewing gum from like 1995.
Well, yeah, maybe.
I mean, to be honest, he needs a pint glass.
What? He's dead.
Oh, okay. Maybe that was one of the things we should have spoken about before.
Yeah,
we mustn't speak ill of the dead. Yeah, he's dead.
So that brings us on to our next tune, named after an event that has also killed
people. Named also after an event that's killed people.
This is Earthquake by the Flirtations.
Yes, it is.
Wow. What song? That one really gets you out of bed in the morning.
That's what gets him out of bed in the morning.
Yeah, it includes the immortal lyric. So I'm paraphrasing here, but it's something like, we're 10 on... What was it?
I think it's like, we're 10 on the Richter scale.
If love could be measured...
If love could be measured that way.
I mean, what a line.
Yeah, shaking.
Yeah. I actually had to fade that one out a bit early. It's you know, it's a long song. We don't really have time for that.
They've got quite a nice drum beat on that song, actually, haven't they? Yeah. Sort of like epic.
Yeah, Geoffrey Hinton, that is, the legendary auteur. mentioned that that was a big hit back in the day. Oh, really? On the scene, yeah.
On the scene, oh yeah.
Or at least he played it a lot. Which pretty much amounts to the same thing.
So we're going to continue talking a little bit about politics, because you wanted to also talk about the Donald Trump...
Pinata. Yeah, my discovery of the week, this week, is the video of the Donald Trump pinata being ritually beaten by five young Mexican children with baseball bats. And that's all there is to it, really.
Sounds like it's really up there with that one of him getting attacked by a bald eagle.
Yeah, like he just, you know, when you're someone who's that crazy, like you just can't avoid these situations, you know.
I just feel like that particular incident though, you just couldn't write. That's so good, isn't it?
Being attacked by the symbol of America. Yeah,
but I haven't actually seen the video of him, of the Donald Trump. No, I have. I think I have
the pinata.
Yeah,
the
pinata. I've not seen the eagle one.
I mean, it's as you imagine it. Yeah. But just the ferociousness of the beating is really indicative of his.
You can blame them.
Yeah,
he wants to build a wall, doesn't he? Yeah. Say no more about that. Yeah. God, he's just building walls between...
The last one worked great.
Yeah, walls. Great walls of the world. Yeah. I remember someone suggested to me that a good fancy dress theme would be great walls.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we still call them great walls, but they're not... You know, thank God they've been torn to Hadrian's Wall.
Hadrian's Wall. Fucking ruin,
you know?
Yeah. The Great Wall of China.
It's ruin.
Berlin Wall.
It's barely there anymore.
Barely there.
It's actually a glory hole.
There must be more than those three walls.
The Berlin Wall.
Is there?
Yeah, we went there.
We won't ask how you found that out.
So now, have we went to pilgrimage?
But my concern, well, not my only concern about Donald Trump, there are obviously many concerns about Donald Trump, or I just feel like people need to begin asking questions about... that just democratic policy. His personality is the policy.
Well, he doesn't actually have any policy.
Have any policy other than shouting.
Yeah,
and his hair is. It seems to be quite a fixation of people.
Yeah, I think we need to look beyond the hair.
Beyond that,
the slightly fascist tendencies. You know,
his balding, scorched fascist scalp. I think is what we really need to get. I think that's what that eagle was going for, actually.
Yeah, never.
Just trying to get far right under the hair of his of his policies.
Yeah. Well, he just doesn't have any apart from USA. USA.
I also think there must be some sort of connection between him and Clinton. They've certainly crossed paths in the past.
Yeah, it comes in the form of a green piece of paper, I think.
Well, there you go. Should we move on to our next song? Or
yeah,
is there anything else to say about Donald Trump? Well, I think we should probably just leave him there. I don't want to give him any more credence.
Yep.
Okay, so this was brought to my attention quite recently, and the video for this song is just amazing. So if you get the opportunity to have a look at that online, it's by a Parisian artist going under the name of 19, and it's called Naked Life.
Oh, judgments are on fire. You mean naked lies. You mean naked lies. Time to cross the stop to go home. No situation stays.
Yeah, I love that.
Really great.
Funky, sparse. Vocals kind of remind me of the singer from Steel Pulse, the legendary Brummie reggae band.
Yeah, I think this guy's an artist as well, and I don't know, you can sort of just see that and feel that in the music. Not that being a musician isn't an artist, but...
How dare you?
Sort of
snobbery there.
Artistry about it.
Yeah, the video is absolutely incredible. The video is absolutely incredible.
I made it incredible.
I wish.
The other day Poppy and I went to see a documentary film at the new Regent Street Cinema, which has recently been refurbished, called Anarchy, the McLaren Westwood Set. No, Gang, the McLaren and Westwood Gang. And I guess I'm kind of an area of interest for me is the way that these scenes come about and, you know, the way that history remembers things. And although it was predominantly about Malcolm McLaren, there were aspects of it that were very interesting about all the sort of peripheral characters involved in the punk scene. And one of the questions that I didn't get the opportunity to ask the director at the end that I really would like to have asked is he sort of suggested that there wasn't necessarily room for this kind of scene to develop in London nowadays. And I'm sort of wondering why that was, and not sort of bemoaning the past, but, I really would have been interested to see what he thought about that. But yeah, it was a good documentary in the respect there was lots of content in it. And
yeah, so I watched it was, when you mentioned the director, you're referring to Julian Temple, right?
Yeah, I'm going to go with yes.
Yeah. Well, I mean, this whole section falls apart if it does.
If it doesn't. But anyway, you know. I actually watched
Temple directed film the other day, which was a documentary about Joe Strummer called The Future is Unwritten. And I must say, it was absolutely terrible.
But yeah, I mean, it's fair to say you're not a fan of the music documentary in
general. No, I'm not a fan
anyway,
of the format, but I'm also not a fan of his editing specifically. It's just a mess. Like, and it's not...
Yeah.
I just really, really found it very difficult to watch. It was just seemingly put together with no thought or artistry at all. Or even
scathing.
Or even any sort of energy as well. Like it lacked any of the punk energy that it was meant to be about. I really didn't like that. I think maybe a mishmash.
Although I would agree there were aspects of this film that certainly had those qualities. I think there was lots of content, and one of the things I did like about it was that it didn't exclusively focus on things that you sort of already know. I felt like I was getting a little bit of an insight. It was a great story about Vivian Westwood being a school teacher and getting fired because she took the whole class out on a field trip and one of the students got run over.
Oh god.
So they had to fire her from the school, which I thought was quite funny. The kid didn't die, thankfully. And I think one of the things that I also felt was certainly that Malcolm McLaren was in love with Sid Vicious. And
really?
this sort of like real preferencing of Sid and talking a lot about Sid.
That's an interesting one. I guess I don't really know too much about the sort of Sex Pistols camp too much. I was always
as in how camp they were.
They were quite camp, you know.
They were quite camp. But I think also one of the things that is forgotten is that they were the Sex Pistols, and you know, the sex was the shop. So they were just the models for the clothes, really.
Yeah.
You know, Sex Pistols.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I think John Lydon got sort of like a bit shunned, you know. And I think Lydon was really if I think about the things that he's done afterwards, someone that's really intelligent and important and just has so much like anger and vitality in their like eyes and their presence. And that wasn't really mentioned. It was it was a lot about sort of Sid and how Sid had also had that kind of presence. But I think
And Sid wasn't really in the band for quite a while. I mean, he was in Susie Sue and the Banshees early on, and so a couple of other kind of hacked together groups. But he wasn't in the Sex Pistols quite late. They'd already pretty big by that stage.
Yeah, certainly. And he was I think he came in as a fan.
Yeah, definitely. But yeah, I guess one of the main problems when you're talking about the sort of musical stuff that happened then is just like there's nowhere to play, you know?
Yeah.
Like a lot of one documentary about punk that I did really enjoy was the BBC one that kind of came out around Christmas. It was about the Clash. It was like a BBC 4 one. I can't actually remember what it's called, but it is knocking around online. It was kind of more, it had this kind of footage of this previously unseen footage of the Clash preparing for a New Year's Eve gig, but it was kind of cut up with lots of advertising and new stuff from the 70s, and it just like it's a different world, you know. And also all the clubs they're talking about playing in, none of those are still around. I mean, maybe they mentioned the 100 Club, but that's, you know.
Yeah, it's funny actually, because they did mention the 100 Club, and then a couple of days after I was in the 100 Club, and it's just like
it's a jazz
it's great
club,
that
though.
It still exists, yeah. You know,
even at the time, you know.
Yeah, but no, I think you're right. I think there's you know, you have to kind of be careful about saying, well, these things can't happen again and there isn't any room for, like, people and it all costs loads of money.
I don't buy that at all.
There are things that are happening.
Yeah,
there are things that are really amazing and exciting. And
just, it's not happening to Julian Temple, though. That's the,
that's the thing of it.
Yeah.
I mean,
there's been many other musical sort of movements
since that have been just
as revolutionary.
Yeah. I mean, there's a sort of sense that they, you know, like McLaren happened upon the sex shop and just wasn't paying any rent for ages. you know, just the possibilities were maybe a bit more open, you know. And I think what we were saying after we watched it was that there wasn't really anything at stake. They had nothing to lose necessarily. Whereas I think even to be in London now, you have to have something to lose, maybe. I don't know, that's probably a null point. I'm talking about a load of shit.
So miserable, yeah.
So that was that. I spoke about that for longer than I thought I was going to.
Yeah, that was a...
It's just thoughts, isn't it? Just epic. Like going around in my head.
Epic rant.
No, it wasn't a rant.
I mean, it wasn't really a rant, was it?
It was homage. No, it wasn't a homage.
No, what's the word? I'm not really sure.
I don't know. Soliloquy.
Yeah, it was definitely a soliloquy.
So what's our next song then?
Yeah.
That we can sort of chat about. Have we not got one lined up?
We do not have one lined up. Okay, maybe
I think it's got to be this.
Anohi.
Yeah.
4 degrees.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. This is literally the best song that I heard last year by far.
And if anyone can write in with the actual pronunciation,
you save
the artist
lots
previously
of embarrassment.
Known as Anthony. It will save us lots of embarrassment.
And they're actually playing at the Barbican really soon, and I can't afford a ticket. So if anyone would also like to send in donations and or take me on a date to the Barbican to see Anohi.
It's only 4 degrees, it's only 4 degrees. 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 World, I wanna see it boil. I wanna see this world. I wanna see it boil. It's only 4 degrees. It's only 4 degrees. It's only 4 degrees. It's only 4 degrees. Dogs crying for water. I wanna see the fish go belly up in the sea. And all those lemurs and all those tiny creatures, I wanna see them burn. It's only 4 degrees.
Burn them.
I wanna bend them.
Okay, well, wow. That's off their new album, Hopelessness. Production by Hudson Mohawk and 106.Never, who we just said were playing at Heaven tonight.
Yep, and we are not.
And going. We're not there, unfortunately. Yeah.
If only.
But that is just fucking epic, yeah. Isn't it? So good.
That is one of those songs that just completely blows you away.
Yeah, I mean, it's about fucking global warming. Like, yeah, how can you make a song that good about global warming?
The anger, the fury, and all the tiny creatures.
And all those big mammals, yeah?
Yeah, it's powerful stuff.
Yeah, it's really, really, really good. Yeah.
That brings us on to our next section. In a sense, it's going to be really, really good.
What's our next... Oh, what was the other thing we wanted to talk about?
The Nighthawks?
Oh, about Nighthawks, yeah. So recently I signed up to the BFI's online player, which I would recommend to do for the first 30 days. And then they rather secretively start charging you. And to watch a film that I'm intending to watch for such a long time, which is called Nighthawks, which is from the late 70s. And it's filmed about the sort of cruising, clubbing, going out scene in London, the gay scene. The what? The gay scene. Yeah, and then we watched it together, didn't we? And we were sort of thinking about what the relationship to Nah was like and what, I don't know, what were your thoughts about it?
Yeah, well, I guess it's just something, it's a film that I just can't stop thinking about ever since we watched it. It's just an incredible document, an incredible performances from all in it. It captures some of the, you know, some of the beautiful movement. There's a lot of really incredible movement in it.
Yeah, and I always think that kind of cruising, you know, even whether it's in toilets, bars, you know, in Tesco's, is always like a bit of a dance. And I'm sort of fascinated by, and I know lots of artists that sort of have an interest in that kind of thing. You know, it's like a very, well, yeah, it's like a very slight dance. And there's something about the film that really captures that, isn't there? You know, and all the sort of like props and gestures and like car keys and blue denim and
yeah,
pint glasses.
There's also this kind of
pint glasses.
Pint glasses. You can buy your Jeremy Corbyn pint glass, only £4 from the
from the Labour campaign shop.
And also, you know, there's so much mundanity in that market. It's in the film, it's kind of, I almost said in the cup, in the glass,
yeah,
in the pint glass.
The soundtrack as well is phenomenal, isn't it?
So as I understand it, the soundtrack was a last minute composition for the film after some of the previous music kind of fell through. And there's only about four or five pieces of music in the whole film that kind of repeat didactically in the sort of clubbing scenes in there.
Yeah, it's a bit like Darth Vader or something. You know,
Darth Vader,
you know,
theme.
It's coming when that music comes on. And it is fun. It is great. Like, I really wish we could find that. If anyone knows where you could find the soundtrack from this film,
we've searched.
That we're really ill describing.
Yeah, I'm searching the dark web as we speak. But yeah, I just think it really captures the time really well, and it's just this kind of I don't know, like the main character in it, who's teaching at a primary school, and then sort of has this this kind of double life on the scene, where he goes out and meets lots of people. It's nice to have a gay character who's just like quite a nice guy, you know. He's quite throughout the film, the way he interacts with people, it's quite like tender, really. I really like that aspect of it.
Yeah, I think you're right when you say it's kind of mundane as well. This was probably one of the first televised representations of homosexuality of its kind, I think. I'm sure there are people out there that are going to correct me on that. And I think, it does a really good job of presenting it as not normal, but There's a tension, isn't there, between the, like, you know, the what necessitates a need for a double life. And I think one of the most poignant scenes in the film is when he's sort of confronted by his young students at school, and they say, you know, sir, are you a puff? And he has to, like, well, he doesn't have to, but he talks to them really openly about it.
And honestly.
And then he gets sort of chastised by the head teacher. And then I like it the way at the end as well, he sort of disappears into the crowd, and it sort of gives the suggestion that that all of the people involved in the scene, in the club, are of the same ilk as him. And, you know, and there's a great sort of repetitious quality to the film where he kind of finds himself driving a different hookup to where they need to go in the morning to work. And that sort of like gives me the sense that he's sort of searching in the same way that all of us are searching for a kind of love. He wants something more than what a casual hookup and the sort of game and maybe the dance of doing that.
Yeah, no, it's a beautiful, beautiful film, but also boring in places.
But I think there's so many 70s films that are like that. It's like such a quality of the time, isn't it?
Yeah, that's actually my niche, like, genre.
Boredom. Boredom's a really type boring of anger.
Yeah. Hey, that actually brings us on to our next song.
Well, yeah. And I just kind of thought while we were talking about playing a different song, because the film kind of took me on a bit of a sort of internet wormhole. And I was thinking about what was played at the time, and I read about this song and I thought, fuck, that sounds like Drake. And then lo and behold,
thank you.
So that was apparently played really often on the sort of Earl's Court gay scene. And I kind of was wondering after reading about it what the scene was like in Earl's Court now.
What, now?
No, yeah. Why do you smile when you think about Earl's Court?
Well, I don't know. I tend to avoid Zone 1 completely.
Is it in Zone 1? So that's it. Why Can't We Live Together by Timmy Thomas?
Well, I don't know. You're too...
Just too...
Yeah. You're too OCD.
Toilet seat yeah. up, yeah.
Too Never, OCD.
Don't pay your rent on time.
Yeah, that's definitely true.
You're a bit messy.
So, yeah, once again, a reminder to...
Oh no, we can't go there again. Thanks for listening, everyone. See you next week.
Yeah, see you next week. Bye.